started to say, John chapter 14. We've been doing that for 12 weeks. We're not actually going to start in John chapter 14 today. I want to start actually in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21. We're going to do something just a little bit different today. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. But as I prayed about what to share with you today, I just didn't feel a traditional Thanksgiving message is what God wanted me to share. I really wasn't sure what to share. And I felt in my heart God just wanted me to go back to some basics of the faith. Just some very simple things, just some very basic things of the Christian faith that can help us and encourage us in our spiritual journey. A part of that spiritual journey, obviously, is prayer. Prayer is the core of that spiritual journey, actually. It's really where everything should begin. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about prayer, and I want to talk about why prayers often don't seem to be answered. Before we get too far along, let's go ahead and read these two verses. Just going to read two verses to kick us off here today from Matthew chapter 21. And we'll read verses 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt," we're going to talk about that in a big way in just a little bit. "If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree," Jesus had cursed the fig tree and it died, "but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen." He's talking to us about how we release the spiritual power of God through the words of faith that we speak. When we speak what God speaks into our heart, when we speak that out of our mouths, we release the spiritual power of God to bring to pass what God has prepared for us to bring to pass in our ministry. He goes on then and applies that principle of releasing the power of God through spoken word. He goes on to speak of how that's the key to understanding answered prayer in verse 22. He says, "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." So let's pray. And Father, we ask you this morning that you would open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, to understand how a verse like that can really be true. That whatever we ask for in faith, you said you'd do it. Father, we know you can't lie, so we know it's true. We ask you today to help us to understand it in a way that we can apply to our own lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the Bible is filled with promises like this, that God promises answers to prayer. We use the phrase a lot. God is a prayer answering God. And by the way, we've seen the Lord answer a lot of prayers around here just recently in our church. We get together on a prayer call, and you're all invited, by the way, to do this, to call in on Tuesday nights. Ed and Mary Ann, who was with us for 20 years probably in the church, they live in Philadelphia now, and they still host the weekly prayer call every Tuesday night. Shirley Brooks from Williamsburg is on there, and so we're able to all still get together by phone, and several others of us are on there, and we pray on Tuesday nights. Of course, our Wednesday night Bible study begins with the time of prayer, and we've seen recently, in particular, we've seen that our prayer list on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights is beginning now with a list of praise reports of how God is answering the prayers that we pray. But the Bible gives us a lot of promises, just like this one here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. God will answer prayers. And many, many times he promises to do so in the Scriptures. James chapter 5, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and you will receive, Jesus said. In John chapter 14 and 14, Jesus said, ask anything in my name, I will do it. Over and over and over, he promises to answer prayer. Most of us know the one from the Old Testament, probably the most popular promise of prayer in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't even know, that you don't even understand. And God promises over and over and over again in the Bible to answer prayers for us. And yet I suspect, if we'll be honest, more often than not, it appears at least, that the prayers that we are praying are not getting answered. And I suspect that it's probably the fact that we don't see answers, or at least see answers in the way that we think we should be seeing them. I'll talk about that in just a moment too. I think it's because we don't see prayer answered as we think they ought to be, or maybe we're not seeing them answered at all. That probably actually leads to prayerlessness in us as a people of God. I mean, let's be honest, guys. If I prayed a prayer today and it was answered by 6 o'clock tomorrow, I'd be praying again tomorrow. And I'd pray the next day. If it was answered again that day, I'd pray the next day. And if it was answered, I'd pray again. I'm just saying, if we saw prayers answered, if we understood the answers and saw the answers and things like that, I think we would be more encouraged and prompted to be faithful, more faithful to be a people of prayer. And not just the people who pray in an emergency situation, but a people who will just come to the Father and pray a prayer of worship and a prayer of praise and a prayer of love and adoration to the Creator of all things. And so this morning I want to talk about just a little bit. I want to talk about prayers and why our prayers, some reasons. And I'm going to find a half a dozen, six or eight, probably go this weekend, next week, and we'll talk about this. Reasons, biblical reasons, why our prayers are not being answered. Now, to be fair, again, sometimes and often, I think maybe our prayers are probably being answered in ways that we don't understand. And God is doing things to answer our prayer. For example, if we have a financial need, and we pray, Lord, I've got some bills to pay. I need some help paying some bills. Or I've got some things that need to be done. I can't afford to get this fixed, and I can't afford to get that repaired, and I can't afford to do this, and all of these things, these projects that are piling up and I can't seem to pay for. And Lord, I need money. In all likelihood, the answer to that prayer is not going to come in the form of a suitcase full of money on your front porch tomorrow morning. Okay? That would be nice too, wouldn't it? To open the door and there's just a suitcase full of hundreds laying there. God met my needs, praise God. No, He's probably not going to meet those needs that way. In fact, most likely, He's going to meet your needs through the body of Christ and through other people, even outside the body of Christ. And it'll come in ways that are so common, ordinary, and natural, we don't even recognize it's God who is behind it. Somebody may offer you a gift card, so now you don't have to pay for a meal. Or somebody might bring some clothes that your children can wear, and now you don't have to pay for those kind of things. Or somebody in the church may realize you've got something busted in your house that they can fix, and they'll call you up and say, hey, you know what, I can get that done for you. And all of a sudden, you don't have to pay for that, you see. And people are often, and maybe most of the time, God's instrument for answering prayers in our lives. And we don't even realize it was God. And we pray prayers and we think they didn't get answered, and all of a sudden the needs are met. And then because we don't realize it was God, we don't give God the glory for it, you see. We don't recognize what God has done in our lives. Prayers are often being answered in ways other than we can understand, because that's the way God works. That's what God does. Or maybe maybe your prayers haven't been answered yet. Maybe they just haven't been answered yet. You know, I've shared recently the story of our church and the land and the building and all of these kinds of things. We started the church in 88. We bought this land in 98. Why the wait? Well, I can't give you a specifics on that, but I do know this. In 1988, they were asking $250,000 for this land. But by 1998, the guy who owned it was ready to sell it to a church for a fourth of that. And maybe God just had us wait till the price came. Again, you see how God meets that need? I told God, I walked this land in the late 80s, maybe early 90s. And I walked this land, and I just, because we were meeting right across the street, what used to be Carol Riggs Dance Studio building over there. And I saw the sign over here, and I walked this land, and I thought, man, this would be a great place. Great location, big road here, lots of acreage, great place to put a church. But they wanted $250,000 for it. And 10 years later, we got it for $60,000. And maybe God just makes us wait as a test of our faith, or because he knows when the time is going to be right to do something. God's timing is impeccable. I will never in all of my life understand it. I want it done now. How many of you want your prayer answered now? Is that what we pray it now? You know? Well, let's pray now. We'll be eating at 12:15. By then, maybe the prayer will be answered. Probably not. See, we're kind of conditioned in our society, in our culture. We're conditioned to get things instantly. How many of you old people remember when you used to turn on a television and you had to wait 2 or 3 minutes for the television to warm up? You remember that? You turn it on, this little dot comes on in the middle, and you just sit there and you wait the anticipation for that screen to finally light up. Or even the early days of the internet. And you want to go to a website and you're trying to look something up. And depending on how much junk that guy's got on his website, that thing loads on your computer. In about 5 minutes, it finally is on your screen and you can read what's on that thing. And I can remember back in those days, and they were promising back in those days, one day, you're going to have internet come into your house and videos will be just like watching television in the movies. And I'm thinking, I don't see it. Here we are. Just about everything we watch is streaming these days. Everything we watch is streaming these days. But we're conditioned. We're conditioned in our culture to get things immediately. Got to have it now. Got to have it immediately. Our flesh wants it immediately. And God says, wait, because those who wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength. And God's timing is impeccable. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't overlooked you. God is willing and ready when the time is right to answer that prayer, to meet that need in your life. So many things. And so this morning I want to talk about several of the things, and we're not going to be very long, I don't think, this morning to talk about some things. I want to talk about three or four things this morning and then three or four things again next week that maybe are reasons on our part. Now listen to me. Hear this. Sometimes God is answering in ways we don't understand. Sometimes we do need to wait on the Lord. Okay, but there are some times when the prayers that we're praying aren't getting answered. And sometimes the very prayers that God has promised to meet are not getting answered in our lives. Now, those are the issues that I want to deal with today and next Sunday. Why is it God promised He would do something, and yet the very thing that He promised that I prayed for is not coming to pass in my life? Why is that? We swear that God's word is true. We claim He doesn't lie. How come what I'm praying for and what He promised isn't happening in my life? And I'm going to show you from the Bible, I'm going to show you at least a half a dozen reasons why, and God's telling us, why the promises that He made to us are still not coming to pass in our lives. And here's what we've got to understand today. The promises and the problems for these unanswered prayer doesn't lie with God. It lies with us. Okay? And we have to be willing to admit that. One of the hardest things for us as human beings to admit is that we made a mistake or we did something wrong or something like that. We have a hard time admitting that and recognizing that. And yet the Bible makes it clear to us that things that are not happening that should be, there may well be. And again, it may be a timing issue. God may be answering it in a different way. And I would just encourage you, anytime that you pray about anything, can I encourage you today? Let's stop telling God how to answer our prayers. Okay? Let's ask Him for what He promised. But then let's just leave it to Him. Because He'll come through. He'll come through. He's likely not going to do it your way anyway. So just quit telling Him how to do it and leave it up to Him and see what He will do. But there's several things that the Bible makes it abundantly clear to us as to why prayers aren't getting answered. Now, I want to start with this one from 1 John chapter 5. Why don't you turn over there with me real quickly? And let's dispense of this one real quickly. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This one is not going to have to do with the promises of God. Oh, Jesus, heal my Bible. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. John writes and tells us, "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him." John tells us when we pray according to the will of God, we know God's going to hear, and if we know that He hears, we know that He's going to answer the prayer that we pray. So the first thing that He tells us is when we pray, we've got to be sure that we're praying in the will of God, okay? How many of you understand today? And listen, there's nothing wrong with praying for things that God didn't promise you, as long as you're willing to admit, you know what? I wasn't really claiming a promise anyway. I was just hoping against hope that God might do something for me in that situation. And you don't get all upset when that prayer doesn't get answered, okay? There's nothing wrong with praying for things that you're not absolutely sure this is God's will or God's promise or that kind of thing. But what you and I need to do is we need to press into the Lord to find out what His will is. I'm going to show you how to do that at the end of the message this morning, by the way. But we need to be sure we're praying according to the will of God. And that means we need to pray a prayer that's Christ-honoring, for one thing. That it's a prayer that, again, that God has promised that He would meet for us. How many of you understand today, by the way? Prayer, listen to me, prayer is not about getting God to do our will. Prayer is actually about us discovering what His will is and then partnering with Him for that will to be done. You're familiar with the phrase, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so true and honest prayer from the believer is a prayer that seeks the heart of God and desires what God wants and prays according to His will so that He can bring forth what He has desired into our lives. But listen, God is not going to do things that are contrary to His nature. There's a passage of Scripture, we've alluded to it a couple of times recently. In the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus prepares to make His way to Jerusalem, He has to go through the region of Samaria, which you know is a region that the Jews usually avoid. But Jesus is heading for Jerusalem and he's on His way to the cross. And so He goes through the region of Samaria and they need to go into a town and rest for the evening. Only as they approach the particular town, this Samaritan town turns Jesus and His disciples away. You're not welcome here. You're not wanted here. Please just keep right on going. That's what they had to say to Jesus and to the disciples. James and John come to Jesus and they say this, and you can think of this as a prayer. James and John came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, would you like us to call fire down from heaven and just consume the whole city and all those people in it? And Jesus told James and John, guys, you don't know what spirit you are of. This is not the will of God, in other words. See, and God is not going to fulfill promises that are not according to His will, okay? God's not going to let us get away with things like that, that are not according to His will. And so we need to press into the Lord and find what the will of God is so that we can pray prayers that are honestly according to the will of God. We read scriptures just recently. I won't take the time to read them again this morning. In our study of the Holy Spirit, we found that the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we might know all truth. He's been given to lead us into the truth. That would be, by the way, the will of God. God's word is truth. God's will is truth. And so the Holy Spirit has come to lead us into the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that we've been given the Holy Spirit so that we might know the things that God has for us by His Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. And so this is how we come to know God's will for our life. But again, saying that we do know the will of God and we do pray the will of God, why are those prayers not being answered as they should be? And the Bible gives us several reasons why our prayers are not answered. You're there in 1 John. Turn back just about three books to your left, and you should go through Peter, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, and then you'll come to the book of James. Look at the book of James with me very quickly. James chapter 1. And verse 5. First two reasons I want to give you this morning as to why our prayers often may go unanswered. And I'm going to mix them together because they're so very similar. The two basic reasons I want to give you to start with this morning is doubt and unbelief. Now they're almost exactly identical. They're very, very close. Doubt and unbelief. The only way that I can actually distinguish between the two, and again, I'm going to lump them together to make it just a little easier for us to see this in the scriptures. But for me, doubt would be if someone tells me something that I have no knowledge of and I'm not sure about it. I doubt it in my heart. That's a doubt. An uncertainty. I'm not certain about something. Unbelief to me is a step beyond doubt. Okay? Unbelief would be you're telling me something and I've maybe seen it, but I don't believe it. I've made a conscious choice to doubt, to not believe what you tell me. So it's almost like splitting hairs. I get that. So they're very close, and I'm going to lump the two together just for the sake of this study. But the first two reasons I want to give you is why prayers are not answered are doubt and unbelief. And read it with me in James chapter 1 and verse 5, where James says, "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." But look at verse 6. "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." So James tells us there that doubts can prevent us. I want you to notice, by the way, it says in verse 7, "For that man ought not to expect. He didn't say it's an absolute certainty that God's not going to do anything, but he did say if you got doubts in your heart, you shouldn't expect an answer to come. Okay? So the first reason that we see for unanswered prayer would be doubts. Doubts creep in. For example, doubts creep in when we get our eyes off of the Lord and onto the circumstances of life. Think Peter walking on the waves. Dude steps out of the boat and walks on the water toward Jesus. And then he gets his eyes off of the Lord and onto the waves and hearing the wind, and he begins to doubt what he's already done. And the Bible says he began to sink in the water until Jesus reaches out and saves him. Okay? So getting your eyes off of the Lord and putting our eyes on the circumstances. This is how doubts can creep in to our lives. Doubts creep into our lives when we grow weary in prayer. When we have to wait. We just talked about waiting a moment ago. And a lot of times our faith is weak and we don't persist in prayer the way the Bible tells us to. Did you know that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, where the text, your text will say, ask and you will receive. Literally translated, that text will say, ask and keep on asking and you will receive. And Jesus is trying to teach us there that we need to be persistent in prayer and not quit and not give up. Just because we don't see the prayer answered as quickly as we think we ought to or on our timetable, we need, if we're praying in the will of God and we know the promise is there and we're claiming it, we need to keep praying until we see that prayer come to pass. Until we see the answer manifest in our lives. But doubts creep in when things don't come as quickly as we often would like to see them come. And over time we grow weary and we give up. Again, we're conditioned in our instant culture for things to come quickly when they often don't. We have to learn to resist. We have to learn to resist those other voices that we hear. I guarantee you, when you pray a prayer of faith to God, believing that He's going to provide something that He's promised in the Word of God, I guarantee you, before that prayer is answered in your life, you're going to hear a lot of other voices speaking to you about that prayer. And you and I've got to learn how to tune out those other voices. We have to learn to be careful. We have to learn to be wise concerning who we share our prayer concerns with. Some of the enemy's greatest allies are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can share our needs and our hopes and our desires and our beliefs with brothers and sisters in Christ who with good intentions will say to us, well, now, brother, I think you ought to rethink that because I don't think that's going to happen in your life. And brothers and sisters, well-intentioned, can speak in negative ways that can cause us to doubt. And those things can begin to creep in, and we have to learn how to tune out every other voice other than the voice of the Spirit of God. Isn't that what Bartimaeus did? Isn't that what the Gentile woman did? They both came to Jesus. Bartimaeus is blind. The Gentile woman has a demon-possessed daughter. Both of them come to Jesus. They both come in faith. They come asking for healings and deliverance. They both come. They are both told by the disciples, he didn't have time for you. You need to be quiet. You need to sit down and hush. He's got other things more important than you. These are the voices of the enemy. The voice of the enemy, when you pray that prayer of faith to God, you pray and you know that you've claimed the promise of God in faith, and I guarantee the enemy will tell you, God doesn't care about you. God's not listening to you. You're not worthy of that answer. God doesn't love you enough to answer that prayer. All of these other voices will come. But Bartimaeus, that Gentile woman, they refused to listen to the other voices. And they just kept calling out to Jesus. That's persistence in prayer. And both of them received the miracle they sought because they persisted in prayer before the Lord. We can't let other voices rob us of God's promises for our lives. Unbelief, just simply choosing not to believe in what God has said and what God can do in our lives. Faith is the key to prayer. We just saw it in Matthew 21, 21. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, it'll be done for you. And over and over and over again, the key to answered prayer in the Bible is faith. Trusting the Lord with all of our heart. Making the choice to believe in God when every other voice tells us something different. When every other circumstance tells us it'll never happen. Choosing to believe what God said in spite of any other voice. Faith is the key to answered prayer because faith, let me say it this way, faith is our responsibility. This is where we have to take some responsibility here. God makes an offer to us of a promise in grace, but we have to receive that promise by faith. And faith is our responsibility. Yeah, I understand. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And Jesus will impart faith to us by His presence and by His word. But we still have to ultimately make the choice as to whether or not we're going to believe something. And free will is our responsibility. And our faith in God is our responsibility. One preacher said it this way. Faith is our response to His ability. Faith is our response to His ability. And just looking to Him and knowing who He is and trusting in His goodness and knowing what His Word has promised to us. We need to have faith in what the Lord has promised. Faith plugs us into the power of God. The faith that saves souls, heals bodies, removes mountains, delivers us from evil. We plug into that faith, into that power by the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, on the other hand, unbelief can actually hinder God's working in our lives. There's a verse of scripture in Psalm 78 where the psalmist is reciting the history of the nation of Israel. And there's a verse in Psalm 78 that said they actually limited, by their unbelief, they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's a scary promise to me. That's a scary verse. We can actually limit what God does for us by our unbelief. Look at Mark chapter 6 with me. Well, I'll just give you the definitive proof. How many of you know today that it is the will of God to save every single person on the planet? But how many of you also know every single person on the planet who is an unbeliever will not be saved? That unbeliever has limited what God could do in their life through their unbelief. And they're not going to be saved until they come to faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our unbelief can limit what God can do in our lives. In Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, just the first 6 verses, look at this. Jesus went out from there and He came to His own hometown. His disciples followed Him. When the Sabbath came, He began to teach in the synagogue. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, and by the way, the word astonished there, that's not a good astonished. How many of you know you can be astonished in a good way? Wow! Or you can be astonished in a bad way. I can't believe you said that. That is exactly what they're saying. Okay? Watch it. You'll see it when you read it. Watch it. When the Sabbath came, He began to teach in the synagogue. The many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles are these performed by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here among us?" And they took offense at him. Please hear the astonishment. Hear the nature of their astonishment. Who does this kid think he is? We know this kid. We watched him grow up. We know his brothers and sisters. This man acts like he thinks he's a savior. And we know he's just a carpenter. And they took offense at him. It's a bad astonishment, you say. They took offense. They choose, watch this, they choose unbelief where Jesus is concerned. And watch what happens. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his own relatives and in his own households. And look at verse 5. And he could do no miracle there except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. Matthew says it explicitly. He could do no miracles because of their unbelief. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. He could do no miracles because of their unbelief. And notice it says again, and notice it didn't say he wouldn't do. It said he couldn't do. He couldn't do. They limited the Holy One of Israel by their unbelief. Brother and sister, unbelief can limit what the Lord can do in our lives. The cure for unbelief, the cure for doubt, the cure for praying outside of the will of God, the cure for that is found in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to close this morning and we'll be halfway done. We'll look at some other things last week, but let me just close right now looking at John chapter 15. The cure for praying outside of the will of God, the cure for praying with doubt, the cure for praying in unbelief is given to us in John chapter 15 and verse 7. And Jesus says this, if you abide in me. And we don't get that. Jesus said, if you abide with me or abide in me. To abide in the Lord doesn't mean to occasionally visit with. See, we have people come to our house from time to time and they visit with us and then they leave. Becky and I, we abide together. We abide together. We are there together. We're there together all the time. Some people are amazed at that. Some people, we watch television shows and people talk about how, well, I mean, you got to have some space. You got to have some distance. You got to have some, you've got to get away a little every now and then. And Becky and I just look at each other and we go, we are perfectly content to sit on a couch together all the time and just be there together all the time. We abide together. Jesus said we have to abide in him. Not just visit him occasionally, brother and sister, but abide in Christ. Look at what else he says. If you abide in me, and the word abide means to live. That's where you live. Where do you live? In Jesus. Where do you live? 120 Chesterfield Road. See, we're abiding there. We're living there. We live. If you abide, if you live in me, and my words live in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Because you see, brother and sister, when you're abiding in Jesus, you know his heart. You know his desires. You know his will. When his word lives in you, hey, Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when the word is alive on the inside of us, Faith is also alive on the inside of us. And we know what He can do, and we know what He wants to do. And when we know His will and pray in that will, we have the promise from the Word over and over and over again that His will be accomplished in our lives. And God cannot lie, brother and sister. But now I'm going to show you next week, and we're going to get into some things next week, and I hope I don't scare you away by saying this. We're going to get real next week about prayer and things that can keep prayers from being answered in our lives. And we're going to talk about willful sin. We're going to talk about rebellion. We're going to talk about unforgiveness. We're going to talk about all of these things. And I'm going to give you a score. We're going to talk about pride. We're going to have to talk a long time about pride. Pride manifests itself in sneaky ways in our lives. Did you know, I'll just give you a quick tip. Do you know that the sense that most of us have of, listen to this, the sense of insecurity most of us have that we think is actually humility? Do you understand that insecurity is actually rooted in pride? I'm going to show you that next week. I'm just telling you, pride can manifest in our lives in a lot of sneaky ways. And God says this, I'll just give you this one. The Bible says in at least three places, James, Peter, Proverbs, listen to this. God opposes the proud. That's not a passive word, it's an active word. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives favor, blessing, answers the prayer of the humble. We'll talk about that more next week. Let's pray together. So, Father, I thank You today for reminding us of things that no doubt we've known for a long time. But I thank You for reminding us of them anyway, because God, we know that we often lapse back into old habits and wrongful thinking and patterns of life that can be destructive. So, Father, I thank You for reminding us of truth today, because Your Word tells us that if we know the truth will set us free. Thank You, Father, for setting us on the pathway to freedom and answers to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.